Okay, our friends. So today we're reading a story that, if you love old things, you're gonna love this one. Because this is a story about an old place. And not just any place, a place that people have lived in for hundreds of years. It's farmhouse. Yep, a farmhouse. And not just any farmhouse, we're gonna learn about one particular farmhouse. We found this book because we'd also read another one of this author's stories. The story was written by Sophie Blackall, and we also read her Hello Lighthouse story. And I love stories that have to do with history and lives and all kinds of interesting things in the past. So let's dive in to this farmhouse and find out what makes it so special. Today's story is read by Mommy and
Philip.
Philip. Are you Philip today? Oh, that makes me the happiest. I mean, I love it when no matter who you are. I love it when you are with me. I love it when you are funny names and faraway places, and I love it when you are just you. And you don't have to do anything to make me love you. I do anyways, just because you're you. That's how mommies are with their little ones. They love their little ones just for being who they are. Let's read this story about the farmhouse. Here we go. Over a hill, at the end of a road, by a glittering stream that twists and turns, stands a house. Where 12 children were born and raised, where they learned to crawl in the short front hall, where they posed, arranged on the wooden stairs, and were measured with marks over the years. And we can see this family in the pictures. And this is an old story, right? Because there's an old-fashioned camera. Do you know, a long time ago, people didn't have phones with cameras. They didn't have phones at all. They had cameras that stood by themselves on tripods. Where they carved potatoes and dipped them in paint to pattern the walls with flowers and leaves, and painted the cat, about which they lied. In the picture, we can see them designing fun patterns, and this is kind of like their own wallpaper. Isn't that beautiful that they've made out of potatoes? And the cat doesn't look very happy to be painted on, but we get the idea. For which they were scolded, and maybe they cried, and then were enfolded in forgiving arms in the serious room where the organ was played and speeches were made. But if they weren't even sorry at all, they were sent to their rooms, where they pored over books about planets and stars, where they dreamed of Mars, or they dreamed of cats, or the distant sea. And in the picture here, we can
Why do they
see.
dream of cats?
Why do you dream of cats?
I don't.
Oh, everyone does. Cats are pretty interesting things to dream about, don't you think?
Like, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Yeah. In the picture, we can see that this family has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, all sharing one room.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
Mm-hmm.
children. There are six other children because in the very beginning it said 12.
But can you imagine sharing a room with six other kids? And it looks like each one of them has their own bed, except for two of them who have to share a bed.
Wow.
I know. Can you imagine not only sharing a room, but also sharing a bed? Goodness.
Like, bunk bed would be fine, but
And
sleeping next to someone is
pretty tight. and whispered secrets, played truth or dare, and lost their teeth and brushed their hair, where they kept collections of tin toy cars and feathers and bones and movie stars, where they hung prize ribbons for champion cows that lived in the barn behind the house. In this picture, this is the other group of 12, I think. They're a little bit older.
The girl.
Mm-hmm. That were milked twice a day, no matter the weather, at dawn and at dusk by one child or another, who shivered and grumbled as they crossed the yard, or liked being alone with a flaming cloud, depending on the season and the day and the child. And they fed the calves and mucked out stalls and forked the hay into giant piles and fished for trout in the glittering stream that changed its shape from year to year. And in the pictures, we can see them doing all of these things. They're working hard. Because when you live in a farmhouse, guess what else comes with it?
Work.
The farm. Yeah, and you actually have to do the work on the farm. And walking home with their rods and flies, they picked gnarled apples to turn into pies.
Which ones were the gnarled ones?
We don't know.
What does gnarled even look like?
Kind of bumpy and not really smooth or circular like a regular apple might be if you get it at the grocery store. Kind of the way our apples are in the backyard. And dragged in mud from the fields outside, so they shook the rug and scrubbed the floors and listened to their mother and did their chores and set the table and bowed their heads and dished up soup and tore up bread and took turns tending the youngest one, who lay with a fever and a spotted tongue. And as they watched, they darned their socks. Do you know what it means to darn your socks? Well, if you get a hole in your sock, they would darn it, which means they would sew up the hole that was in the sock. And sewed on buttons that once were shells in the faraway sea that they'd never seen. And they waited for spring, which eventually came, as it did every year, with blossoms and rain, which leaked through the holes that had grown in the roof. Oh no, they'd better repair it. Collecting in bowls and pans and pails and staining the walls in the short front hall with the flowers and the leaves and the measures and marks from the children who all grew up in this house, who went off to school, or to work on a farm, or to drive a truck, or train as a nurse, or study the stars, or have babies themselves, until one day, the youngest child, who was quite old now, took a last look around and picked up her case and opened the door and stepped outside and into a car where her sister was waiting to drive to the sea, which they'd always, always wanted to see. And the house gave a sigh and slumped on the stones, which caused a slight lean in its beams and its bones. So the door swung open and let in a breeze and welcomed the rain that rotted the floor, where a sapling grew right next to the stove, where the wallpaper peeled like onion skins and drifted about with the fallen leaves and the button that was once a shell in the sea. By the parlor organ that rattled with nuts put there by a squirrel with rather a fuss, which startled the swallows that fed on the moths that fluttered and flew all over the house. There was even a bear in the basement one year, who slept there all winter until the next spring, which was when I came and cut a path through prickly burdock and nettles and grass and found what remained of the old farmhouse, where I filled my arms with wallpaper scraps and rain-soaked books and brittle maps and mud-caked dresses and handkerchiefs and a button that was once a shell in the sea. And back at my desk, I spread them all out and cherished my gifts from the fallen down house. Then I sharpened my pencil and mixed some paint and dipped my brush and cut some shapes and began to imagine the things that took place in a home where 12 children were born and raised and where they ate and slept and worked and played and laughed and loved and grew quite old, and where they'll live on now in this book that you hold, like your stories will, so long as they're told. And, you know, we've seen houses like this when we're driving along in the countryside. Sometimes you'll look over and you'll see a house that's been covered by nature. Nature is taking back over and it's covered in moss or ivy or ferns.
Do you think the youngest, who was quite old, ever came back to that house?
I don't. I think she went to the sea, and I'm sure she found a beautiful place to live that didn't have all of the things that this house might have had.
Maybe even more.
But it might be different. Might be a better place for her. Do you know what's interesting is that we will all of us eventually grow up, and we will have to live in different places than the places that we originally started our lives in. And that's okay. That's part of living. We grow up and we move on. But there's a very famous saying that says, home is where the heart is. And when that lady left that house, in the book it said she took her sister with her. Right? Her sister was in the car. So her sister is part of her heart, right? That's your family. So I don't think that her heart was in that house. I think her heart was going with her in the car. Anyways, that, our friends, is the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.